Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We're going to focus on verse number 12 this morning. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for all that we've seen and heard in the service thus far. Thank you for your folks that have gathered here this morning in your Son's name. Father, we pray that you'd make the next few minutes profitable for us. Father, that through your word and by your Spirit, you would speak to our hearts. God, we are your people. We want to please you. We want your blessing in our lives. Father, we want to stand for you in these days that we live in now. And so, Father, help us to take the admonition of the Apostle Paul as it's given here in Ephesians 6. Help us to stand. Father, help us to wrestle. And I pray you'd bless your word to each and every heart. Should there be one today that's without Jesus Christ in their heart and in their life, Father, may they see the emptiness of their life without God. Father, may they see the futility of their eternity without God. Lord, I pray you'd saddle up to that person this morning and reach your arm around them and show them your love. Show them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins so they could have forgiveness and eternal life. Bring them today to the point of salvation. Father, for we that are saved, we pray you'd challenge us to live in such a way that we might be able to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 10, as we looked at Paul's admonition, we saw his call. His call was to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In verse number 11, we saw his counsel, and that was to put on the whole armor of God. And we talked about that last week. Paul counsels us to put on the whole armor of God. And we talked about fighting the battle without armor. Fighting the battle without the clothing that God provided. Fighting the battle spiritually naked. This morning we come to verse number 12, and that is the conflict. We see the conflict. It says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, can I tell you this morning that this Christian life is a battlefield and not a playground. You need to mark that down when you understand, why does life throw me the curves it throws? Why do I face the battles I face? Well, because this life is a battlefield, not a playground. Lester Roloff was a preacher when I first got saved back in the 70s. And he was a man that had some ministries down in Corpus Christi, Texas. He had orphanages. He had homes for kids that were wayward. And if they got in trouble, I mean, I'm talking about serious trouble, they would send them down there as teenagers, and he would house them, and he would teach them, and he would give them scripture to memorize, and he'd put them to work in the gardens and in the fields, and he would rehabilitate these kids. And I mean, he had an amazing success rate in the lives of these young people. And a lot of the boys that went down there turned out to be preachers. A lot of the young ladies ended up marrying preachers or missionaries or going back to churches and serving and singing. But the government didn't like the success rate that Lester Roloff was having, because, see, their homes were not rehabilitating like his was. Their plan and their functions were not producing anything. They were having greater failure than they were success. And so out of envy, they tried to shut his homes down. They tried to attack him on everything. Now, his homes were faith-based homes. And so the reason and the basis for their attack upon him was because of faith. And he fought the battle in the 60s and the 70s and even into the early 80s before the Lord took him home. He fought those battles against the government that were trying to shut down his ministry that was having great success and turning around the lives of young people. That doesn't make sense. Why would anyone want to shut down a successful ministry? Lester Roloff used to sing this song, and it was one of my favorites. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. This Christian life that we're in today is to be a battlefield and not a playground. And that's the problem, I believe, with modern-day Christianity. There's no fight. There's no fight in the modern-day Christian. Everything is surrender. Everything is compromise. Everything is doing what everybody else is doing, and there's no standing. Paul said here, withstand, stand, stand therefore. We don't take our faith seriously. It's all fun and games. Most Christians go to church on a Sunday morning for lights and entertainment. Most churches anymore in our country are about stylish clothes and secular-sounding music and lukewarm sermons. The Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to resemble an army. We are the Lord's soldiers. But instead of an army, most of the time, most churches look like folks getting ready for vacation. Folks getting ready for the beach. Not an army. You know, it used to be, you remember, some of you older folks remember this, that when you went out to eat on a Sunday afternoon, you could spot the church-going people in the restaurants by the way they were dressed. You could tell, those folks been in church. Not that easy to do anymore. You can go into a restaurant and find out, overhear a conversation, a bunch of teenagers that look, they just came from Salt Fork Park or the beach, and find out they just came from youth group at their church. Don't look like soldiers. Don't act like a military of the Lord. But it's all just fun and games. It's all pleasure. And you know what the result of that is? The result of a vacation mentality and a fun mentality instead of a seriousness of our faith, the result is that we have churches and we have individuals that have no spiritual power. We accept and we accommodate sin. We've been convinced that we're supposed to tolerate everything except Christianity. Tolerate everything except the Bible and the Ten Commandments. Tolerate everything except traditional marriage. And the church has just succumbed to it because it's got no fight in it. It's been lulled to a sleep, and we accept and accommodate everything. We go with the flow. The church goes with the flow in the direction of a godless society. Oh, we keep our distance. We stay back. We're not as bad as the world. We're back here, but we're still going in the same direction. And it's a godless direction. As I was researching and studying for this, I found one quote from a preacher that I had to use. He said this, "Why can't we halt the drug trade that is destroying countless lives and damning souls? Why is it so hard to pass strict laws against drunk driving? Why has sodomy become acceptable? Why is pornography such big business? Why can't we stamp out child abuse and the legalized murder of children by abortion?" And I would suggest to you this morning is because the church has no power. We say, oh, that's society's ills. That's the world's problem. But the church hasn't had the influence in the society the way that it used to because we've lulled ourselves to sleep. We've convinced ourselves there's nothing worth standing for. And one at a time, we give up the battles. The church is playing instead of praying. We're so good at PowerPoint, we forgot about power with God. Paul told us and gave us the admonition that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Notice he said here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord." He tells us in verse number 11, "Put on the whole armor of God." Also there in verse 11, "that ye may be able to stand against the wiles," that's the ways, that's the deceitfulness, the trickery, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, "against the wiles of the devil." He loves to manipulate. He loves to lull people to sleep. He loves to deceive. He is a deceiver. And he's good at what he does. Paul says here in verse number 12, "For we wrestle." Now verse 12 is about who we wrestle. You'll notice in verse 12 there's four things mentioned. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And before we look at these four foes, I want us to notice something that precedes that. And that is in verse 12, it simply says this, "For we wrestle." We all wrestle. We need to make sure we're wrestling the right foe. We're wrestling the right things. You understand, every house you pass in Byesville, in Cambridge, in Guernsey County are folks that are wrestling something. Everybody has their problems. Everybody has their troubles. Everybody has their heartaches. Everybody is wrestling something. We just need to make sure we're exerting our energy in wrestling the right thing. It's like with doctors. We don't want them to treat the symptoms. We want them to treat the problem. And too many times we're prescribed medicines that simply treat the symptoms but don't address the problem. A lot of folks are wrestling things that are just symptoms of the problem, and they're not wrestling the key source of that problem. But Paul says, "For we wrestle." He's taking it for granted. We all know that we're wrestling something. But let's make sure we're wrestling the right thing. He says in verse 12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." You realize, folks, your problem is not people. Too many times we're fed that philosophy by the world around us. When we get angry at someone, when we get put out with somebody, when we get bitter against people, we want to focus and say, they are the problem. But that's the symptom of the problem. The problem runs deeper than that. Can I tell you this? If anybody can offend you and steal your joy, they are not the problem. If any human being, now granted, they can discourage you, they can dishearten you, but if they can steal your joy, if they can just cause you to be down and out, they're not the problem. The problem's within you. You're wrestling the wrong foe. It says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." See, the problem is we get sidetracked in making people our problem. And people our enemy. And the devil rejoices. Because if he can get us to focus on that thing and not focus on the real foe, then he's been successful. Our modern day philosophy feeds that anti-people attitude. I've not watched these shows, but I know there's one called The People's Court. And everybody wants to hear the grievances of one person against another. Everybody wants to listen to somebody's story about how the other person wronged them. And they want the judge to come down on the side that they think is right and favor them. And we get caught up in that battle of people against people. I think the greatest illustration of that is the show called Jerry Springer. And if I understand that show right, and again, I'm not a watcher of daytime television by any means, but just enough to know that what they're after is people to be mad and angry at somebody and to yell and scream and cuss at somebody. Some people put the bumper stickers on their car. My kid beat up your honor student. There's some kind of philosophy in the world today that's all about strife, one against another. Is it any wonder that our political leaders can't speak comprehensive statements without yelling, screaming, being upset, naming names, pointing at people? That's the philosophy of this world. And too many times it creeps into the church. And you know what happens now? Now it's even fellow believers at odds, one against another. Pointing a finger, gossiping, talking, criticizing, condemning, tearing down. Why? Because it's the philosophy of this world. We make ourselves bigger, not by having character, but by tearing other people down lower. Look, if you would, at Colossians. It's right before Galatians, just two books. Did I say Colossians? I meant Galatians, I think. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 15. Paul is writing to a bunch of Christian people. And he says in verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Why in the world would Paul have to write to a Christian people about that? Say, if you bite and devour one another. I like it when folks have some fire in them. I like it when they've got some fight in them. But I sure don't appreciate it when the fight is directed against other Christians. It doesn't do God any service when we bite and devour one another. Let's take that anger. Let's take that criticism. Let's take that vehemence and direct it in the right direction. I mean, again, don't put out that fire. That's a good thing to have. But let's redirect that fire. Let's aim it at the foes that Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's expend that energy we're expending in fighting the battles of this flesh and in this world, or biting and devouring one. Let's take that energy and enthusiasm and put it in the right direction. And what a difference it'll make when we fight the right foe. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some folks are wrestling not against people, not against one another, but some folks are wrestling against God. Can I tell you, you'll never win that fight? You know, somebody said, well, back in the day, they offered, you know, you $5,000 if you can spend 60 seconds in the ring with Muhammad Ali. You know what a guy wanted? He wanted to run around the ring for 60 seconds so that the guy couldn't catch him so he can get his $5,000. He had no hope. He had no dream. Not in his wildest did he ever dream he'd get in that ring and win a fight with that guy. We're not going to win a battle with God. God wants all of our heart. You know the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Wow, there's a high standard to meet. There's a high precipice to try. There's a high hurdle to jump. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God wants you to love Him with all His heart. He wants all your love. He wants all of our life. He wants to be prime. He wants to be number one. He wants to be on the top of our life. And yet we wrestle against Him. We don't want Him to be first. We want this to be first or that to be first. We want to put our affection in this thing or that thing. Not bad things, not sinful things. Our family, our job, our house, our friends. We put God second to put those things first. We're wrestling against God. And I got news for you. I've watched this wrestle match enough times. I know who's going to win. This isn't big time wrestling. This isn't WWE or WWF or whatever it's called. This is not stage. This is not play. This is not fake. This is a real wrestling match against a real foe. And as long as that foe can get people to be fighting against one another or fighting against God, then we're not fighting against the right enemy. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 32? There's a fellow named Jacob that wrestled with God. Now, it was an angel of the Lord, but if you understand the angel of the Lord, that was a pre-incarnate Savior, Jesus Christ. That was God. That was God. And Jacob wrestled with Him one night and wrestled and wrestled and wouldn't let Him go and hung on to Him because wrestling is a close combat battle. And as he hung on to him and wouldn't let him go, that angel said, you better let me go or you're going to pay for it. And he said, I'll not let you go. And the angel touched the hollow of his thigh. And the Bible tells us that the sinew, the muscles, the nerves in his thigh shrunk. And for the rest of his life, he walked around with a limp. You know why? He tried to wrestle against God. You try to wrestle against God, you're going to be handicapped. Now you understand, I'm not talking about being in a wheelchair. I'm not talking about being physically. I'm just telling you, you try to wrestle against God, you're not going to win. You're going to come out at the short end. And it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be happy. Don't wrestle against one another. Don't wrestle against God. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle. Can I tell you this? Wrestling is an individual activity. No one can fight your battles for you. Now, you know, if you remember high school or college, there are wrestling teams. And the rest of the team would train with you, The rest of the team would practice with you, but when it came down to the time to wrestle, it's one-on-one on the mat. And they might cheer you on, and they might encourage you and yell things and try to help you, but it's your battle and your battle alone. Can I tell you this morning that that's the way our wrestling is? It's the same way. We're the one on the mat. We're the one that's one-on-one against powers, principalities, darkness. You better have your headgear on. Better have your knee pads on. Better have your shoes in place if you're going to wrestle and try to win that match. Or the enemy's going to wipe you out on the mat. But not only is wrestling a one-on-one, a single combat, it's also a close combat. Armies fight at a distance. We go back to the day that Paul was writing in. It's, you know, if you're at a distance and somebody shoots an arrow at you, if you're quick enough, you might be able to dodge that arrow. But this isn't a distance combat. It's a close combat. Wrestling, putting your hands on the other person. Wrestling is physical contact. You can't wrestle with space between the two. Boxers do that for a brief period of time, but in wrestling, once they start grappling, it's grappling the whole way through. It's close combat. Wrestling is up close and personal. I remember back when I was in high school, there's a group of us best friends. And as best friends, we did what best friends do. We were out in the backyard one evening playing basketball. Lights were on outside in Tim's backyard, and we were out there playing basketball, three of us. We started playing basketball. We were getting a little carried away, getting a little rough and all that. And one of my best friends, Clyde, and I began to get into it just a little bit. And we squared off. I didn't get in many fights at all in my lifetime. We squared off, and I got him. I cold cocked him. I got him pretty good. And I went over to the ground to go help him up. I learned a long time ago, don't help the guy you just beat. I went over there to go help him up, and as I reached down to get him, he just yanked me down to the ground. Now, Clyde was a state wrestler in our high school. And I knew if we got down to the ground, I'm done. So I did everything I could to keep my balance and get away from him because I didn't want to go one-on-one with a guy that knew how to wrestle. Can I tell you this? The devil knows how to wrestle. He knows how to pull you down. He knows how to get as close to you as he can to fight that battle. So you know what he does? He gets close to you. He uses the people right around you. He uses those you love and care about the most to discourage you, to dishearten you, to distance you from God. And many of you have experienced that. You get that joy of God and love for God and you're exuberant and you just want to do everything right and somebody comes and throws some cold water on the whole thing. You know what that is? That's the devil wrestling you. That's not that person doing it. That's the power that's behind it. And you and I need to be ready for that battle. So here's what we do. We come here on a Sunday morning and we get ready to wrestle. That's our goal here this morning. My goal is to be your trainer this morning to help you be ready to wrestle. Now, your coach is the Lord God. He's the one that oversees your battles. He's the one that picks your opponent. He's the one that knows how much you can handle and puts you in the right weight class to make sure you don't go against something you can't handle. He'll not tempt you above that which you're able. So he will not allow you to wrestle in a situation that he knows you can't win. And then the preacher is here to be your trainer, to give you the information, to give you the scripture, to give you the Bible. This morning we're here for basic training. This evening we'll be back for advanced training. Wednesday night we'll be back for some more advanced training. You know what you want? You want as much training as you can get to be ready for the battle, because if you want to send a soldier out into battle, if you want somebody to defend you, you know what you want? You want that one that's been well trained. You don't want the guy that's just been through basic training, that's all he knows. You want somebody that's had some advanced training. And so we're here to be trained this morning, and we are fellow wrestlers. We're all wrestlers. You know, when I look out from here and I look out, and I pray this all the time when I get ready to preach a message, I say, God, I'm going to be preaching to folks that I don't know what they're going through. I don't know how what I'm going to preach applies to them. But I do know this, it applies. I know every time I preach the Word of God, whatever I'm preaching about, I know it applies to you, or God wouldn't have written it and recorded it like that. And so this morning, you and I just see that we need to recognize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We ought not be wrestling against God. We're getting all the training and preparation we can get so that we make sure we fight the right foe. That brings me to verse number 12. I want you to see the four foes we fight. Brother Ken, there's the title of the sermon right there, so he knows what to write down. The four foes we fight. And they're given to us in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principality. You know what a principality is? It's a geographical territory. That's what a principality is. It's a geographical territory. I was reading just by coincidence. I love God's coincidences. I was reading just yesterday in the book of Esther, my daily Bible reading. I was reading the book of Esther, and it said about Ahasuerus the king, that he was a king over 127 provinces from Asia to Ethiopia. All right, a king over 120 provinces. We could call those principalities. They're geographical territories. And he was the ruler over all of those. Well, you know who the ruler of principalities is today? It's the devil. Don't misunderstand it. Don't mistake it. The Bible calls Satan the prince of this world. This is his principality. This world is his kingdom. If you don't believe that, read the newspaper. If you don't believe that, watch the news. Watch what terrible things. You turn on the news, even in this area, and it's about a murder. It's about rape. It's about some mother killing her own children. And we look at that thing and say, how in the world could that happen? Because this is the devil's principality. This is his kingdom. He's got temporary control of it right now. And his rule spans continents and oceans. His subjects are as numerous as the sands of the sea. And like a prince, he wants loyalty from his subjects. He wants loyalty from his subjects. You and I are living today in principalities that are temporarily under the devil's control. Don't be surprised when we look around this world and see the problems and the troubles that we see. We're wrestling against principalities, not the people, not the kingdoms, not the governments, not the politicians, but the one that has control over all this. Remember what Satan said to Jesus when he led him into the wilderness to be tempted? He said, all the kingdoms of the world will I give you if you'll bow down and worship me. He wasn't misguided when he did that. He has control over the kingdoms of the world right now. And we fight against those principalities. In Colossians chapter 2, you need not turn there, in verse 15, the Bible says that when Jesus was on the cross, he spoiled principalities. He spoiled them. He ruined them. He defeated them. By saving you and I and leaving us here, he spoiled principalities. Now the devil, in his reign, in his kingdom, in his principalities, has some subjects, has some people that are not loyal to him. We are rebels. We're rebels against the devil. We're rebels against principalities. We're a minority in his kingdom. And just as a prince back in that day would like to quash any rebellion and quash unloyal citizens, so the devil has placed his target upon us. The Bible tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You and I are not to be like this world. We're not to live like this. We are to wrestle against principalities. Remember the things I read earlier about the preacher, about the quote about abortion and homosexuality and all these things? Why is the world going in that direction? Because they're under the devil's control. He's the ruler of principalities. Governments are under his jurisdiction. And you and I stand for God and stand for righteousness, and sometimes we stand against those principalities. We are to wrestle. We're to wrestle. We're not to succumb. We're not to give in. We're not to throw in the towel. We're to wrestle against principalities. Notice secondly here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says not only principalities, but powers. Again, these are not flesh and blood. This is not us fighting against the government, not fighting against this thing or that thing, but powers. There's no mystery who this power is in Ephesians chapter 6. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 21, the devil is described as a strong man. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, you know this, the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And there's Christians that have been lulled to sleep, and Christians that are satisfied with their status quo, and Christians that are satisfied with entertainment and lights and secular music, and the devil just walks around and roars, and they run hiding. And there's no fight in them. They tell us that a lion can roar, and even an animal that physically is qualified to defeat that lion, that has no reason to be afraid, when he hears that roar, he's petrified. He freezes and becomes prey to the devil. And that devil walks about roaring, and Christians just are petrified. They're afraid. They forgot they're supposed to wrestle. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, the devil is portrayed as a great red dragon. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he's described as the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. All around us. All around us, everywhere we look, we can't see, it's invisible to our eye. The devil, this is his kingdom, and he's got his power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 calls the devil the god of this world. He's got power. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, he's called that wicked one, which means that all that power he has, he uses for one purpose, and that's wickedness. Everything he has at his disposal is to break fellowship and break union with God. You want to see God, you want to see the devil, the god of this world, the prince of power of the air, the principality of this world, you want to see him in his power, go to the Garden of Eden. And see our first parents, our original parents, Adam and Eve, that after their creation walked every day with God in the cool of the garden. That had every need they could ever imagine taken care of. Their food to eat. The environment that they were in. The garden they were in. They didn't have to watch the weather report to see what was blowing in from the west side of Ohio coming their direction. Everything was perfect. Everything was ideal. And they walked with God and communicated with God. And nothing could harm them. The animals. There was no vicious animals. The lion would lay down with the lamb. There was nothing to be afraid of. No fear. It was perfect. Till the day the devil showed up. And deceived Eve into taking that. And manipulated Adam into taking it after Eve had taken it. And plunging all of mankind into the punishment and condemnation of sin. That's his power. Go ask Job. Job, who had every earthly possession taken from him. And when the devil walked away from him, here was Job laying there covered in boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. All by the touch of the devil. That wicked one. You want to understand his wickedness and his power? Go to those many in the New Testament that were possessed of devils. That would throw themselves into the fire. That would hurt themselves, cut themselves, do all kinds of things. Because the devil was not out for their benefit. He was not out for their protection. He was not out for their good. He was out to hurt them. And they would have seizures and fits and throw themselves into life. Challenging situations, all because the devil had control. And one day when the Lord came by and took those devils out and threw them into a herd of swine, you remember the story? Took those devils out of a young man and threw it into a herd of swine, and those swine ran down a steep cliff and into the sea and drowned. Because the swine couldn't handle the wicked power that was within them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against God. We're wrestling against principalities. We're wrestling against powers. Too many Christians aren't wrestling. Too many Christians aren't fighting. You notice it says there in that verse in verse 12, it doesn't say against principality, against power, but it says against powers. Now our time's getting away from us, and I really can't elaborate on this, but you understand that when the devil in eternity past was cast out of heaven, he was one of the cherubims that adorned the throne of God, and he rebelled against God, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. I will make my throne like the Most High. I will become like the Most High God. God cast him out of heaven. This is before Genesis, before the creation back in Genesis 1. God cast him from heaven, cast him out of heaven, banned him from heaven. But the Bible also tells us that one-third of the angels of heaven had followed Satan in his rebellion and were cast out with him. And now he has all those angels to do his bidding. Those fallen angels, those minions, those assistants he has. And he's got enough devils to harass the whole earth. He's got enough power there to station his troops in every corner of the world. There's not a person on earth without some of these cursed spirits tracking him wherever he goes. We wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. Notice in verse number 12, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The principalities talk about the dominions. The powers talk about the destruction that they wreak. The darkness. These powers don't like light. They like darkness. They don't like the light. They don't want to be exposed to the light. They don't want to confront the light. Jesus is the light of the world. You and I as believers have been left here to be the light of the world. And so the powers of darkness do not appreciate your light and would desire to put your light out. Therefore, you have to wrestle. Because if you don't wrestle against the powers of darkness, your light has been put out. Their rule is the darkness of this world. Now notice, their rule is limited. The darkness of this world. Thank God those powers can't touch you in the next world. Thank God their power is restricted. Their power is limited. So it's only in this life we've got to wrestle. That's one of the blessings of going to heaven when we die or when the Lord comes back, is our battles are over. No more foes to fight. No more battles to struggle in. Right now's the time for fighting. But if we don't fight now, if we succumb now, we've got no rest to come in the future. The battle is right now. He's the rulers of the darkness of this world. The only ones he can really reign over are those that are not in the light. If you're saved this morning, if you're redeemed, if you're blood bought, if you're a child of God, he has no power over you unless you give it to him. He has no reign over you unless you allow him to. That's why Paul says, wrestle. Wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Because the time is short. The devil knows his time is short. The devil knows that Bible better than you and I do, and he knows the Lord's getting ready to come back. And he knows all about the great white throne of judgment, and he knows the fact that he's going to be banished to a horrible pit for eternity. He knows all that, so he's fighting as hard as he can to the end. He wants to destroy and ruin as many people as he possibly can. And it's easy to do if we don't wrestle. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. And then finally in verse 12, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what spiritual wickedness is? Take the word spiritual off of it. In wickedness in high places. Now add the word spiritual wickedness in high places. You know why atheism's on the rise? Because he's the prince of this world. You know why agnosticism is so popular in the world today? We had a missionary here on Wednesday night going to Scandinavia, going to Sweden. And he's going to those four countries that make up the Netherlands, and he said, those people they're not atheistic, they're agnostic. When their babies are born, according to their traditions, they baptize the babies. They don't even know if there's a God, and they do it. Why? It's just what we do. In case there is a God, we want to be safe. In case there is a God, we want to be okay. And so they baptize the baby and then forget about God the rest of their life, thinking everything is fine now. It's nothing more than a tradition. You know what that is? That's spiritual wickedness in high places. What about the occult? What about the rise of witchcraft and Satanism in the days that we live in? It's amazing how close to home these things happen sometimes in small communities like we live in. And yet it's here and it's around. People exalt the things of darkness. You see the folks with their bumper stickers or their window things of skulls and crossbones and all kinds of things that represent wickedness. That spiritual wickedness in high places. All the pagan religions of the world. Look at what's going on today with the Muslim religion. What's going on with the fear and maybe sometimes it's misguided, but it's legitimate. Somebody said the other day, if you walk into a restaurant and you see a Christian with a blatantly Christian t-shirt on, and you see a Muslim woman in her garb hidden all that, which one are you worried about? Which one do you tend to be afraid of? And whether it's legitimate or not, whether you still, by the appearance of it, you're afraid of it. Because there's a power, there's spiritual wickedness in high places going on. All these things about transcendental meditation and yoga. All these elevation of these things of spiritual meditation is spiritual wickedness in high places. And you and I are supposed to be wrestling against it. Not accepting it. Not bringing it into the church. You know, there are churches today that take some of these things and incorporate them into their church worship. I've heard of churches that try to find the parallels between the Bible and the Quran. I don't want to know the parallels. I want to know the differences. And there are many. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The Jehovah Witnesses. The Mormons. The Seventh-day Adventists. The cults that are teaching people that they can get to heaven some way other than by the blood of Jesus Christ. Even, sad, mainline denominations that no longer are preaching the Word of God and preaching the truths of Scripture, but are telling people that there are other ways and other paths and other means, that we're all worshiping the same God, whether we call Him by one name or another. And we're forsaking the things of the Word of God. We're no longer wrestling. We're no longer standing. And it's no wonder that the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the God of this world, is being successful in everything he does. Because Christians are not wrestling. Paul says in verse 12, "For we wrestle." I have one question for you as we close this morning. Are you wrestling? Are you fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places? Are you wrestling? Paul's going to go on in the following verses as we continue on. He's going to show us the armor of God that helps us to fight this battle. And we'll talk about that and we'll ask you as we consider each piece of armor, are you wearing that helmet of faith? Do you have that shield of faith? Or the helmet of salvation? Do you have the shield of faith? Do you have the sword, which is the Word of God? We'll talk about those. But right now the question is simply this. Are you wrestling? Or are you simply laying on the mat, flat on your back, letting the devil just beat up and walk over you? Let everything come and go and roll over and pass by and never have an objection, never have a disagreement, never have any discord with the devil himself. For we wrestle. You know what I want to be? I want to be a wrestler in a team of wrestlers. I want to encourage and cheer one another on as they fight their battles. I want to celebrate their victories. And I want to help them up after their defeats. And I want to be a wrestler for the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you want to be one too. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, please take the Word of God this morning. And Lord, I just pray that Your Spirit would get a hold of our hearts.